Well, welcome to the next edition of Business Law Focus. It's a pleasure to welcome Andries Meiberg to the show today. He's the head of the Johannesburg Tax Department at ENS Africa. Andries, thanks for joining us. Great having you. And now we're talking just ahead of the budget, which is coming up. And your area of expertise, of course, is energy and mining. You have many years of experience there. And I just wanted to start with one of the big topics that is concerning for the mining industry is the proposed amendment for mineral rights holders carrying on mining operations and whether they qualify or not for what's called an accelerated capital expenditure deduction. This is a big thing for the industry. Contract miners may be excluded, but my understanding is this has been postponed. Will we or won't we get something in February on this, Andries, and why is it so important?
Good afternoon, Evan. Yeah, thank you. I think it is very important. They tried to push that through last year following the as part of the Minister of Finance budget speech. So fortunately, it ended up being not pushed through, and Treasury indicated that they will do consultation of the mining industry. So in this year's budget speech, we probably, you know, hope to expect that the minister will announce that there will be this consultation process, because, yeah, absolutely, the way they proposed the amendment last year would have unintended consequences, not just for peer contract miners, but the way contract mining is used in different forms in the mining space, and also for BE transactions, unincorporated joint ventures. So it is very critical, amendment, and fortunately, it hasn't been pushed through. But hopefully, we'll see in the budget speech something by the minister to say there will be proper consultation. You know, we hope not to see just legislation being pushed through. So that is very important.
And the reality at the moment in the industry is it's evolved so much that there's more use for contract miners. So logically and practically, it doesn't actually make sense to exclude them from, this important deduction.
No, absolutely. And I think you will see that was part of the presentations that, and I think the Davis Committee, who produced the interim and the final report on mining a few years ago, indicated that contract miners has become a lot more used in the mining space, in recent days. Especially junior miners use a lot of the contract miners, but even the large mining houses use contract mining. And absolutely, I mean, the risk of double deduction is not there. I mean, the person who incurred the capital expenditure will claim the expense. So if the mining house claim the expense, they will claim the accelerated allowance, and the contract miner who's conducting mining, i.e. extracting the mineral from the earth, if they incur all the expenditure, they should qualify for that, And, a lot of the junior miners don't necessarily have the finance to buy this equipment, so they make use of contract miners who has this equipment. So in turn, the contract miner have incurred a large expense to buy that equipment and maintain them. So it actually makes sense, So there's absolutely no risk of double deduction, and it has been used widely in the industry and continued to be used. So absolutely, I mean, legislation, must bear in mind that industry and the way it's been operated has changed over time,
And of course, if I listen to you speaking, Andries, we're desperate for investment as well, which is the one critical side of this equation. This amendment in its current form would not bode well for investment. Fair comment?
Yeah, look, I think, amendment that's thoroughly thought through and where there was proper consultation, that's fine. But I think where you haven't done that proper consultation and tried to plug a hole, because this amendment came through a Supreme Court of Appeal judgment, the Benhouse mining case. It was in March 2019, where one of the judges sort of additional comments say they need to change the legislation. So I think, what investors are looking for is certainty and predictability of legislation and regulatory environment, because they put in a lot of money, and mining is not like manufacturing where you can pack up and go. When you sunk all that capital into the hole in the ground, whether it's open cast or a shaft, it's permanently there. And when you look at your return of investment, tax plays a part in that return of investment, and you want to know that, you know, there's certainty and predictability about legislation. So, you know, whenever you change legislation, you must do a proper consultation process, which I think didn't happen when the proposed draft taxation laws amendment came out. But I think through submissions through various players, including the Minerals Council, I think they fortunately decided to not push that through. So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, for investment, you need certainty and predictability. Don't just change legislation, you know, to try and plug a hole for something and maybe have unintended consequences, you know, that could adversely affect mining companies' profits and therefore return investments for its shareholders, who's the investors.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is possible they could make an announcement in February, but it seems unlikely because, as you mentioned, a lot of consultation, a little bit of more thought is needed before this can actually be legislated. What are you expecting come February? Because my understanding is the industry is very worried about this. I think some of them have used the term that it would be devastating.
Yeah, so I think the outcome of the presentations to the Standing Committee on Finance in Parliament, Treasury sort of indicated that, yes, they won't push it through and they will probably first consult. So, you know, there was no, as far as I'm aware, consultation that has happened as yet. So the concern by some of the industry players is that, you know, because there was no indication of this consultation process. Now, typically in the budget speech, the legislation following immediately is normally change of your rates and all of that. So I don't think the legislation immediately on the budget speech, normally where they produce draft, will have anything there. But I think there probably, hopefully, will be something in the minister's speech suggesting that there will be this consultation process. And actually then, you know, where Treasury need to consult it. I mean, larger budget speed, they did mention they will change it. And before there was consultation, the draft legislation came out in July, August last year with this amendment. So hopefully that won't happen again this year. And I think that is where the concern is about, because there hasn't been consultation. Maybe there will be just legislation coming through, a draft bill coming through with any changes like they did last year. So I don't think there will be anything in the budget speed immediately, but hopefully there will be indication by the minister that there will be this consultation process with industry, because I think it's quite important to have that consultation.
Wonderful. Thanks, Andres. We'll certainly keep an eye peeled on those developments. And then just in conclusion is, I know you've been working very closely on a possible incentive, and we mentioned the importance of, you know, investment in growing this industry, and I really like this theme. I think the time is ripe for more incentives to encourage economic growth, and we're looking at tax incentives and broader incentives across this economy, something we probably haven't always gotten right. But I know you've been looking at Canada and some greenfield incentives there, and working with the department and scientists and economists. All quite exciting if we can pull this one off, Andres. Possibly just give us a little bit of insight as to what what we could achieve when it comes to beneficiation, development of the industry and the economy through this particular greenfield incentive.
Yes, Evan. So I think, you know, Minister Mantashe and President Ramaphosa on a few occasions, if you look at their speeches, referred to the mining industry as a sunrise industry, meaning that obviously for South Africa the mining industry is quite important from an economic point of view and generation of revenues for the country. So especially last year with the heat of COVID-19, where a lot of industries had closed down, including some of the mining companies, some of them were more hit than others, I think there was a lot of effort from the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy, Department of Geoscience and Treasury to see how they can stimulate the economy. And I think that the Minerals Council then sort of used that as an opportunity to relook at this opportunity, because, I mean, South Africa is known to have a vast quantity of untapped mineral resources in the ground. but obviously you need to have money to do the proper exploration to decide whether it's viable and then decide to have mining prospects. So the Minerals Council has looked at, again, this Canadian flow-through model, but obviously as part of that process, the whole thing with a tax incentive is that it erodes the tax base. So the question is always whether that should be given. But I think this time around, the Minerals Council, with the economist, looked at it carefully and run models to see if they produce this type of incentive to incentivize exploration in the country, because, you know, the more people doing exploration, appoint contractors to do the exploration activities, job creation. So there's a lot of in the remote areas like the Northern Cape or other areas where, you know, great infrastructure development and all of that. So it could potentially could be quite beneficial to the country as a whole.
Yeah.
So the Canadian flow-through model, you know, worked in Canada, but I think our environment is slightly different. So what we looked at there, assisted the Minerals Council, is to see how we can use that sort of start with that, but how we adapt it to the SA environment. So the Minerals Council looked at that and with those models and also suggested how you introduce a modified version of that flow-through in South Africa. And that was prepared by the Minerals Council, and they had engagement with the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy, as well as the Department of Geoscience and National Treasury on that. And I think it's I'm quite excited about, you know, that prospect. So although tax incentive has sort of been painted with a brush, it erodes the tax base, I think that report by the Minerals Council suggests that, you know, it actually won't erode the tax base. So I think there's quite a nice opportunity now, and especially with COVID now continuing for this year, to see how we can put that something together, how the country can put that together to attract foreign investment particularly. Mm.
Just a quick word on the how it'll work, Andries, because I know in Canada, for instance, there's 100% of eligible exploration expenses deducted, and then there's also the 30% of expenses on a declining balance. So I think the way they work it there as well is that they adjust it, and then they use that flow through share to reduce any assistance received. How will it differ possibly in SA? Andries, hi, sorry about that, a bit of a delay there. Andries, just on the mechanics of the how it will work specifically, how will the SA model work compared to the Canadian model?
Yeah, look, I obviously don't want to go into detail. It's quite complex in detail, but I think in broad strokes, the Canadian model is more for Canadian corporate exploration companies who has Canadian tax resident shelters. So the idea there was, or is, that the shelter will subscribe for the so-called flow-through share into the exploration entity, who will incur the exploration expenditure, and then the company will announce that expense or the deduction in favor of the Canadian resident shelter who made the investment, and then the Canadian shelter can claim that expense against its taxable income. Yep. Now, obviously, if we want to attract foreign direct investment, you will have a foreign shelter investing into an SA incorporated entity. So if you just renounce that expense in favor of that foreign shelter who doesn't have a tax liability in South Africa, that won't work. So the model that was suggested is to take in broad strokes that into account, but to create a situation where the exploration company incur the expense, can grant the benefit of that expense, or the tax benefit, which is the 28% of, let's say if you incur $100,000 expense, your tax benefit of that is 28%, and that credit is then flow through to the shareholder, whether it's a local shareholder, SA resident, or a foreign shareholder, and that can then be used against any other tax liability. For example, foreign shareholders typically would have, for example, withholding taxes on dividends, interest, they may have other subsidiaries in South Africa, who operate here subject to tax, and because we don't have group taxation, they can then apply that credit for its SA subsidiaries. And similarly for SA local investors, the same principle. So previously there was, many years ago, an allowance where companies, manufacturing companies, made huge losses, could convert that assessed loss into a credit and sell it to other taxpayers who can use it against their tax liability. So as a second phase, one suggested that you can also sell that for the foreign shell, if they can't use it themselves, sell it to an SA local shell or local entity who can actually use that again. So I think that is a broad stroke, the suggestion there, but I think obviously it's a lot more complex than that. So absolutely, there's a lot of thinking in detail that has went into that and still needs to go into that.
But at the end of the day, it actually is workable. It's critical to stimulate the economy, and there's a lot of opportunity there for possible growth that then also feeds back into the loop of the fiscus gaining those benefits. So,
yeah, absolutely. I think the Minerals Council, certainly, and I share their enthusiasm, that it is definitely workable. I think it is quite a nice comprehensive suggestion by the Minerals Council to those three government departments, and I think it's definitely something to consider by government and push forward. So, I mentioned earlier on is that tax incentive normally erode the tax base, but I mean, that model suggests that, through job creation and appointment of contractors to do that, you create jobs, so it's employees tax, there's VAT. The contracts themselves who provide the services generate more income, so there's more income tax. So I think so that's your secondary benefits. And also the shareholders, when they sell their shares, they may be capital gains tax, which will flow to the fiscus. So I think that was a well thought through submission by the Minerals Council, and I think definitely, in my view, I think it's definitely something that is workable. It could stimulate the economy,
Well, Andre, it's been fabulous chatting to you. I know the mining in Darbo is coming up as well, so I think all of these topics will be covered there as well. And we certainly then keep a close watch on the budget for these and other aspects. So thanks very much for the time.
Thanks, Evan.